Thank you. It is my great pleasure to be able to talk in this wonderful conference. I hope this program will be productive to all of us. So let me begin by listing my collaborators, Toshiaki Fujimori, Sho Kamata, Katsuhiro Misumi, and Nueto Ito. Most of them are from KO, but now some of them are scattered in US and also in Akita University. Now, I would like to begin by introducing bions in quantum mechanics, because up to now, I think not so much is spoken about bions in this conference, and that's quite important to realize the resurgence in quantum mechanics and quantum field theory. And the next step is the realization of the importance of exact saddle points in complexified theory. And I will also introduce where resurgence is hidden, and on the other hand, where resurgence is ubiquitous in appearing in everywhere. I will take the CP1 quantum mechanics most in depth, and especially near supersymmetric point where one can find exact result, which shows a beautiful resurgence structure to all orders of non-perturbative exponentials. To explain this exact result from the context of calculating the soliton contribution in path integral, I will introduce exact multi-bion solutions in complexified theory and compute left-shift thimbles to determine which saddle points contribute how much. And at the end, I will comment on the ongoing project of lifting the CPN Monotone quantum mechanics to genuine two-dimensional quantum field theory, where asymptotic freedom will play an important role. And I will conclude at the end. So let me gradually start from taking simple examples. I decided to choose Sine-Gordon quantum mechanics written in Euclidean space like this. The reason is that although this is a simple quantum mechanics with single variables, but it carries the essence of CPN minus one model, which is closely related to the two-dimensional CPN minus one quantum field theory, which is asymptotically free. So there is a chance of getting a direct link to the asymptotically free theories, quantum field theories, in higher dimensions. So the observable we will take is ground state energy written in terms of the path integral like this. This is the perturbative part, which expanded around the perturbative saddle points theta equals zero. Then, because of this potential, one discovers that it is factorially divergent as usual, and the coefficient of the powers is given by the essentially inverse of this parameter. This is precisely the situation where we have degenerate vacuum. So the in this situation, typically one gets non-Borel summable divergent power series. Now, in order to get some meaning out of this divergent series, of course, one should get a Borel summation, taking the Borel transform of this thing by dropping this factorials, one gets convergent series, which looks like this. So we get a pole on positive real axis in the Borel plane, which it means non-Borel summable. Now, right, the vacuum is theta equals zero.
No.
Sorry?
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
It's periodic.
Yeah, sure.
And
oh, modulo 2 pi, that's what I mean.
State has to be unique. It would be a superposition.
He's not saying it's not unique. He's saying that his recollection is expression in power of G.
Power of G is one thing, but
yeah. Okay. Let me see. The more correct statement would be, because this is a periodic potential, as you said, I have to construct Bloch state. Here I am taking the state is parameterized, labeled by the Bloch angle, and I chose to take theta Bloch angle to zero. That state, that's purely the lowest state.
But the equation theory you're sitting in the remaining world doesn't matter. Because in the equation theory you're not going to the value. So I'm not sure why you can't do this.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you can discuss it later. Okay. Now we find a pole in the positive real axis. So what we have to do something because in this approach, Borel summation gives you an imaginary ambiguity for positive G square, which is physical region. So we take G square to be slightly to give a small imaginary part, either positive or negative, and compute the result, which gives you ambiguous imaginary part, either positive or negative imaginary part. Depending on that, the result is different. So this is a typical Stokes phenomenon. We anticipate that there should be some non-perturbative contribution besides theta equals zero sum of points to make this ambiguity go away. So we look for non-perturbative subtle points. Typically one gets instantons because this is a periodic potential starting from one minimum to the other minimum gives you instanton, which has the action of this size. However, this doesn't really help because this is a this changes the vacuum. So the what is moreover, one can see that the value of the action doesn't match the inverse of this object, which is the pole in the Borel plane. And in fact, people have discovered a pair of instanton and anti-instanton combined gives you the correct amount of action, which is appropriate for the non-perturbative subtle points, which is called now a bion. Because this bion is not really a solution of the equation of motion, although instanton and anti-instantons are the solution of the equation of motion, there is a residual interaction between them, which typically has exponential tail. And moreover, because this is the unstable configuration, the interaction is attractive for a physical value with G squared. So there is a negative sign. Of course, for large value of the separation, the potential is completely flat. So we have to regularize for large value of the separation by sticking into, say, epsilon species of fermions. Then the exchange of zero mode produces this repulsive potential at large distances. So this is fine for to regularize large distances, but the problem is the attraction in the small value of separation. So typically what one does is taking G squared negative initially, then because this becomes repulsive exponentially decreasing function, and this just linearly rising potential gives you a stable configuration, which gives you the nice integration over the moduli separation. So we get a nice result for G squared negative and make another continuation for positive G squared. That has been invented many years ago by Boncomaldi and Zingerstein and many others. And in fact, this bion contribution gives an imaginary ambiguity, which is precisely canceling the perturbative Borel resummation imaginary ambiguity. So this is quite nice. However, there's a problem because bion is not an exact solution. And why should we take this configuration as a legitimate saddle point comparable to perturbative vacuum? So there has been an extensive search for the possible solutions, but the one important point is that, like in other just a simple integral, in order to apply a saddle point technique, it is necessary quite often to complexify the theory. One has to deform the contour to the steepest descent contour in the complex plane. So this has been around for many years, but for quantum mechanics or quantum fields, the necessity of this complexification has not been really noticed too much. And there has been nice observation that if we implement two ingredients, that is the adding fermionic degrees of freedom and make theory complex, then one can find exact saddle points corresponding to bions. So for example, in the case of double L potential, epsilon number of fermions, or sine golden potential with epsilon number of fermions, whose number of fermions, say, if we take epsilon to be one, that becomes supersymmetric. Then in such a situation, it is possible to find nice solutions provided we complexify the theory. And there has been solutions found, two types. One is a real bion, the other is complex bion. So these two contributions has non-negligible contributions, but of course in the sine golden situation, supersymmetry is should be unbroken. Therefore, not only perturbative contribution, but also non-perturbative contribution should vanish altogether. And in fact, it has been observed that some of these non-perturbative contributions vanishes in accord with the supersymmetry. In order to really ascertain the vanishing of this quantity, of course, it is necessary not only find solutions, but also to evaluate the fluctuation around the saddle point, calculating one loop determinant and possible moduli integration, and evaluate explicitly. And that has also been done, which confirms this result. Now, the question arises. At supersymmetric point, it is nice to to find the consistent result to fundamental principle supersymmetry, namely ground state vanishes, energy of ground state vanishes. However, this also means we cannot see resurgence structure at all. So this is partly due to the so-called hidden topological angle, which means that from time to time, if we take the appropriate symbol, the direction in complex contour, complex plane, makes certain angle phases, which helps to vanish these, to cancel these two contributions. In more generally speaking, not only just a supersymmetric point, but other highly symmetric points, such as quasi-solvable situation, resurgence structure is often hidden. So there is a sort of a dichotomy. That is, one is that it is nice to find exact result. At the same time, it would quite often it makes resurgence structure hidden. On the other hand, one can also think of the following. Apart from this particular isolated points, resurgence is actually ubiquitous. So if you take any deviation, a small one, away from the symmetric point, it will reveal the full resurgence structure. And at the same time, because of high symmetry, one can perhaps find exact solution. So that's a strategy we are going to take. And what we find is the following. Just flash the result in advance. Borel resummation of the divergence series, perturbation series is necessary, an imaginary ambiguity result. And at the same time, we find infinitely many powers of non-perturbative exponentials. All of them have associated divergent perturbation series on that background. And the resurgence of trans series is manifest. That is the imaginary part of Borel resummed perturbation series on P Bayan background is cancelled by P plus one Bayan semi-classical contribution, as we all anticipated. So this continues to up to infinite order. So let me come to more concretely what we have done. This is in order to have some grip on towards the quantum field theory asymptotic one, asymptotic free quantum field theory, I take CPn minus on quantum mechanics. In particular here, I just write down the CP1 case. In order to introduce possible supersymmetry, I will introduce the fermions psi besides the CP1 variable, which is a complex scalar. This thing, if this parameter epsilon equal one, then that there's a supersymmetry realized. In this quantum mechanical situation, role of fermions is very simple. We can diagonalize a fermion number, and the sector is divided into fermion number zero and one sector. And ground state is, of course, in this contained in fermion number zero sector. So if we project into this sector, the remaining bosonic potential looks a little bit deformed. So this is the deformation due to the fermion zero mode. More concretely speaking, potential looks like this. In the absence of fermions, this is starting from, this is a periodic, completely periodic potential. But because of the fermions, this is distorted. So initially, if we have the symmetric epsilon equals zero, starting from this point vacuum, reaching this takes infinite amount of time. So there is only one possibility with single instantum as an exact solution. But now, because of this asymmetry, there is a possibility to return to the original point. Moreover, if we make theory complex, there are more abundant nice solutions, exact solutions. Now, to understand the exact result around the supersymmetric point, I introduce the Hamiltonian, and then the supersymmetry realized at epsilon equal 1. So the supersymmetric ground state is exactly obtained. Now I would like to calculate deformations around this point. So the energy, ground state energy, is expanded in powers of epsilon minus 1. So the first, second coefficient in the energy is computed. And the first deformation is simple, like this, and turned out to be precisely written like this. And one can see easily that this is, it can be expanded in powers of the non-perturbative exponential. This is absolutely convergent series. So one thing one can learn is that the perturbation is cut at finite order. However, the non-perturbative exponential continues to go infinite, and moreover, this is absolutely convergent. If we expand in powers of non-perturbative exponential, data is like this. So this is nice, but it does not have any imaginary ambiguity, and it has no means, no way to relate non-perturbative and perturbative result. Now, we would like to go one step further, going to second order in supersymmetry breaking, computing energy to the second order. One gets exact closed form for this object, containing exponential integral functions. And it is interesting to observe, first, there is a infinite power, absolutely convergent infinite power series of non-perturbative exponential, and also logarithm of g present. And these exponential integral functions are known to have a divergent asymptotic power series in g squared. So another thing which is interesting is that this expression is real and symmetric under m over g squared, sign change. The first, we take this object to expand in powers of non-perturbative exponential. And next, taking this exponential integral function and compute the asymmetric power series in powers of g squared, similarly for this thing. A difference is that this is alternating. This is Borel summable. This is non-Borel summable. Now, having these divergent power series, we do Borel with summation to return to the closed expression for the analytic object, analytic as an energy as an analytic function of coupling constant. And we of course discover that for the Borel summable case, we have no imaginary ambiguity, but for Borel non-summable case, we have imaginary ambiguity. So now from this thing, expanding over the non-perturbative exponential as an infinite series, what one finds is that this object can be interpreted in the end as a p-bion background contribution. On this p-bion background, we have perturbation series, which is Borel non-summable and ambiguous imaginary part. However, this piece is precisely imaginary part coming from this Borel non-summable piece is cancelled by the contribution of the p plus 1 bion semi-classical contribution of this form. So the task for us is to really reproduce this exact result by computing the p-bion exact solution and its one-loop determinant around the this exact saddle points. So I will come to the case in which I make the theory complex and find the exact solution for corresponding to multibions. It is quite important to start the finite interval situation and then taking the limit of infinite interval. In this situation, because of the periodicity, it turns out the equation of motion for this complex finite theory is has a solution of elliptic function. Elliptic function is known to have two periods, 2k and 4ik prime. So the this periodicity beta is realized by p types of this period and q types of period summed over. So the solution is labeled by two integers, pq, and that exhausts all the solutions. Taking this elliptic function as a solution, we take large beta because we are eventually interested in ground state energy. So in that limit, action is essentially p times the bion, single bion action. And for instance, this is the typical three bion configuration in complex plane, written in terms of this variable. One can compute the position of the bion as a function of these moduli parameters. And it is, of course, complex position. In order to make view the situation more simply, one can take only single variable, that is the angle theta of this form, and plot the solution. These two are very similar, but this is sort of winding around. This is returning to the original saddle. Now, our task is to demonstrate the contribution of these exact saddle points to the path integral. So in order to do that, we have to integrate over fluctuations around this p by 1 exact saddle points. And one can compute one loop determinant for non-zero moles. However, it turns out that the position, the separation between the fractional instant and anti-fractional instantons are rather large in the limit beta goes to infinity. Therefore, the determinant is actually a product of constituent instantons. The remaining issue is to how to find the precise integration of the almost flat direction, that is cosine moduli, which consists of two things. One is the relative position, and the other is relative phase of two constituent kink and anti-kink, constituent instant and anti-instantons. So we have to integrate over this object, and the potential looks very similar, except that the relative phase enters into the interaction between constituent fractional instant and anti-fractional instant in such a way that the phase is, if the phase is the same, they are attracting. If phase is opposite, they are repulsive. To make things simpler, we introduce a Lagrange multiplier to impose periodicity. So if we postpone integrating over sigma later, all the integration over each individual instant and anti-instant can be done independently. And so I just take the simple approach in which each individual instanton anti-instanton integration can be done. So this is a prototype of quasi-moduli integral. Y corresponds to the relative separation, and the typically exponentially decreasing repulsive force and the linearly rising repulsive force balancing each other. So if we make these variables parameters complex, we can find where is the steepest descent and where is the steepest ascent. And that's like this. Original integration contour is real line. And in the case in which theta angle, that is the parameter theta is the phase of A, depending on the phase, we get this dual symbol intersecting to the original line. So this is the steepest descent contour which we should be integrating. And if phase is different, this is the deformation we should do to get steepest descent contour. In this way, we find the energy eigenvalue for the second order in the supersymmetric breaking, and the formula looks like this. What one finds is precisely the non-partible exponential to the p-th order, and with this logarithm and imaginary part. So in fact, this imaginary ambiguity precisely cancels Borel non-summable perturbative series on p minus 1 Bayan background. Moreover, the resurgence only relate non-Borel summable part of the divergent power series to the semi-classical leading order non-partitive contribution. However, Borel summable part can be obtained by exploiting invariance under m over g sign flip. Then the other part, that's Borel summable part, can be obtained. So in the end, entire term series can be obtained completely from calculating the leading semi-classical multi-Bayan contributions to all order of non-perturbative exponential. So let me just digress ongoing study, which we are doing. That is, we would like to lift the quantum mechanics to two-dimensional quantum field theory, which is asymptotically free, and making the compact creation size S1 larger. And what we find is, of course, the additional ingredient compared to the quantum mechanics is the presence of the Kaluza-Klein modes of fluctuation. We did the one-loop determined computation to find the renormalization and the running coupling results. So we hope to get at least going slightly above the compactification limit to go to the full field theory. So let me conclude. Quantum mechanics is a useful arena to explore resurgence. Resurgence structure is actually ubiquitous, only hidden at supersymmetric or quasi-solvable very peculiar point. Exact result of ground state energy of near CZ CP1 quantum mechanics is obtained, and it has infinite powers of non-perturbative exponentials, and the associated divergent perturbative series on that background with logarithms. Infinite power of exact multi-Bayan solutions are found. And we evaluate semi-classical contributions of multi-Bayans, which gives non-perturbative corrections exactly. And the full exact result, including non-partable exponential as well as divergent power series, are recovered from multi-bio amplitudes thanks to resurgence structure. Lefschetz thimble analysis is vital to integrate over KSI moduli. So we restricted the function space to a smaller subspace with KSI moduli integral to perform Lefschetz thimble analysis. Generalizations have been obtained to Sine-Golden, CPNYs, and other deformed models. Extension to two-dimensional quantum field theory is underway, and possibly there may be a hint for UV Lomelon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid that maybe I misunderstood a part of your talk. You mentioned that in quantum mechanics, let's say CP1 quantum mechanics, you have expansion in the complex constant G or G squared, then expansion in exponents of 1 over G squared, and then infinite, which is part of it is kind of Borel summable, and then you mentioned that you have an expansion in exponents which with factorially divergent coefficients. And then I didn't understand, what did you do with that? Did you sum it or you just left them as such?
Maybe you, let's see, what would be the best place? Look, so for example, here, this is a exact result coming from the Schrödinger equation.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is the originally.
Yeah, here. You see in the middle of the slide, you have the.
This one?
No, not this one, exponential.
Okay.
This maybe I misunderstood. No, the other which had integrals EI. You remember they were.
In exponential of integral, what, sorry, I couldn't.
E to the power t divided by t dt, you remember? And then you expanded them into exponentials.
Expansion of exponential, let's see.
Maybe
this
before
is the result
that.
Of the expansion of exponential.
Can you go one slide before?
This one?
No, you go further. Before that, one
before,
slide.
Yeah, sorry.
Maybe here. Yeah, you see in the brackets.
Which one?
Yeah, this one and its expansion the expansion of this EI.
Okay, right. Expansion of EI looks like this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, with this exponential. This is a standard asymptotic series for the inverse power of this thing.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So it doesn't have factorial coefficients in front of various exponents. I misunderstood you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So you show that the cancellation of one loop technically you go to the quasi zero mode direction and show that the contributions of bion cancel out. Actually, in a recent work that we're actually working on it with Mithat, we're showing that cancellation exactly happens at the level of semi-classics around. We do the path integral kind of. Calculation, and we show that we calculate the determinants, and we show that they exactly cancel. So that was just shows that what you have there also matches with our results.
Okay, instead of what you said, okay, instead of doing the
fluctuation operator around the instanton, which is very typical textbook material, you can take this bion operator and look to the fluctuation operator around it. And typically, this is some generalization, multivale generalization of Peuchteller.
Right.
And sometimes, for real bion, it is real and smooth function, the fluctuation operator. But for complex bion, it is singular and absurd looking. Okay. But in either case, either real case or this complex case, we were able to study the determinant by slightly generalizing Gelfand-Yaglom. There is a formula, Tarley-Kane or something like that. So one can study the fluctuation operator directly around these configurations, bion configurations, instead of resorting to their instanton constituents. So, but at the end, it gives agreement. And but we can also handle the cases in which it is it looks singular. Then there are some interpretational issues. It loses its interpretation as a, you know, Schrödinger operator, but it is a it is still well-defined problem, it turns out, and one gets interesting structure. And it doesn't affect, one thing that remains invariant under that calculation is that these hidden topological angles, what we call hidden topological angles, do not get modified. So they are really invariant.
Yeah, in fact, I agree with you that the we have also computed the one loop determinant on the bion background, in fact. And the approximation usually done for this background, one loop determinant, is good for small separation, but for large separation, as we described, it reduces to the product of the instanton and anti-instanton, as you said. That's right.
Questions or comments? Okay, so let's thank our speaker again.